Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Can anyone remember what we're talking about as a church together?
Prayer,
thank you. And tonight we're going to be talking about, I think it's on the screens, but we're going to be talking about prayer and how we live, or prayer and our actions or and our activities. So please don't raise your hand, don't shout anything out, but I wonder, do you think you're a good prayer? Like, are you good at prayer? Just in your head? For me, it changes day to day. Maybe just give yourself a rating between 1 and 10. 10 being you're amazing and we should all come and learn from you, and 1 being, yeah, not so good. Just give yourself a number. How is your prayer life? But my next question, line of questioning for you is, how did you come up with that number? Like, how do you rate prayer? Is it about the frequency of prayer? Like, how frequently, like, do you pray daily or, you know, once every hour? Is it about the length of the prayer? Maybe you pray for 2 minutes. Maybe you pray for 4 hours. Is it about how deep you go with God, you know, the depth of the conversation? Maybe it's about how eloquent you are, if you can string the right words together in the right flow. Maybe that makes you a good prayer, you know, particularly if you're praying out loud. You know, how do we judge whether we're good at prayer or not? I'd say let's relate it to friendship, because I don't think frequency or length or the depth of the conversation we have with God, I mean, they're important, but I don't think we can characterize or rate prayer based on those things. If you think of a friendship, you know, there's some people we spend a lot of time with, there's some people we see frequently, there's some people who we have a lot of conversation with, but we're just not very good friends. So there's something more than just time and frequency and, you know, actually going deep together. There's something more than that in prayer. Sorry. So just tweak the question a little bit. How do we know we're praying well? It's not are you good at prayer, but how do you feel after you've prayed? You know, maybe there's some days where you feel ecstatic. You know, it was a great time together. You felt the Holy Spirit. You felt the peace. You felt the love. It was an amazing time, and you step away with a massive spring in your step, going, I'm ready. You know, maybe you heard from God that petition you've been giving to Him for a month has been answered. You know. Maybe you're just, you know, full of joy. But what about those times where, you know, it's a bit hard and you're sort of mechanically working through the process of prayer, and we come away and go, you know, did God hear anything? You know, did I pray right? Has anyone else experienced that? No, just me. So sometimes we can rank prayer based on, you know, observable attributes, you know, length, frequency, depth of conversation. Sometimes we can rank prayer based on how we feel as we come away from that time with God. But I want to suggest that we're actually asking the wrong questions. Because when we do that, we're looking at prayer as the end goal. Yeah, that time with God is the purpose for praying. But that's not the purpose of praying. It's really good to pray, but that time with God is not about praying. It's not about getting a rating. So I laid you down, you know, an awkward line of questioning. But what it is about is meeting with God and getting to know Him better, getting to understand His will better so that it can transform our lives. So prayer is not the goal, it's the means. But it is a wonderful means. And I want to suggest to you tonight that prayer, go back one slide please, Mark. Prayer and how we live are intertwined. Right, if we pray in one way, it's going to cause us to live in one way. And it's not just me who thinks this. The book that we're following along with, John Dalrymple, he's got a whole chapter that talks about how our prayer life and our activity in this world is intertwined. And this is because prayer stems from the desires of our hearts. You know, people who don't believe in God, they pray when they're in trouble. Have you ever seen that? And if you were to listen to someone pray, you'll quickly understand, you know, what's pressing in their lives. The hurt, the pain, the joy. You know, maybe they're so thankful, but you'll see what's really pressing in their lives. You'll also find out their theology. You know, the way they pray, the way that they approach God, you know, their relationship with God comes through if you were to hear them pray truthfully. The reason I say pray truthfully is we can also put on a bit of a facade. We can pray with eloquent words, but there's nothing going on in our hearts. We just know what we should say or what is appropriate for a time, but you know, it's just getting through and it's not really engaging with God. We're praying for the purpose of those around us. So the actions in that time and the heart are not aligned because we're saying these wonderful words to God, but our heart's just not there. So hopefully we're building a bit of a picture of prayer that prayer is related to our heart's desires, our true heart's desires, what's going on in us, whether it's the things that we're anxious about or stressed about or things we're really happy about, but also out of those desires flow our actions. Right? It's like the famous passage in James 2, faith and works. If you've been coming along to church, you've probably heard this one before, but if not, we've got it up on the screens. So James 2, verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied, if not accompanied by action, is dead." And we're paralleling faith and deeds with prayer and deeds, because prayer is a product of our faith. Dalrymple puts it this way. He says, "Our conduct or our actions outside of prayer is the best test of the quality of our prayer." So if you want to know how you pray, look at your heart's motivations and then see what they give rise to in the way that you act. That's a good way to see how you're praying, what your relationship with God. So I would add to that, the conduct, our conduct outside of prayer is the best test of the quality of our prayer and the desires of our heart. Because we know that out of the overflow of our heart, what's in us, the mouth speaks. Jesus, when he was rebuking some of the Pharisees, we can read along in Matthew 12, says, For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up within him. Our prayers are good when our hearts are fixed on God. Doesn't matter how we feel, whether it was, you know, really hard to push through and it was really mechanical, or whether it was joy-filled. Doesn't matter if it's a short prayer or an extended time of prayer, you know, with people or by ourselves. It's not about our feelings. It's not about the observable metrics. It's about the state of our heart. Is it turned towards God? Is it fixed on him? Are we praying in alignment with his will? Jesus tells a story in Luke 18, which we'll read together. It tells a parable of a tax collector and a Pharisee. So from verse 9, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down at everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Thank you I'm not a robber, an evildoer, an adulterer, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector, in contrast, he stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" This is Jesus talking now. "I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." God desires humility. An example from the Old Testament is that of David. So David wrote Psalm 51 as a response to being confronted by the prophet Nathan when he sinned with Bathsheba. Psalm 51 reads, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. A bit further on, he says, you do not delight in sacrifice or I would bring it. There's no action or activity that we can do that will delight God. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. So true prayer, when we're praying from within ourselves, and our heart's desires are linked to our actions. Because everything flows from our motivation that's within our heart. Good things if we've got a good heart, bad things if it's not so good. But what do you do if there's a gap? A gap between where your heart is and what you know is good, what you know you should be doing. I've experienced those gaps where my heart wants something for me, yet I know I should really be trying to honor God in some way. So there's a gap between my heart, my motivation, my desire, and my action or activity. What do we do? Here's an example. Like those in James 2, if we pray for people in poverty, in slavery, people being exploited, but we don't do anything within our power to actually make a change. You know, we're just giving lip service. Or like me, I pray for a chance to rest. You know, God, I need some rest. I need some refreshment. But then I jump at the chance to take on a new project. You know, something comes up and I go, yeah, I want to do that project. Or I get to sort of sweep in and be the savior to help someone out who probably didn't need the help, you know, in the end, but I felt really good by helping them. And so I pray for rest, and yet I take every opportunity because it gives me something by helping or by doing. There's a gap between what I know is true and my heart. The human selfish desires win out over the godly desires in my heart. See, I'm not here to condemn. You know, I'd say I've got gaps. I'm sure you've got some in some places too. Usually the tendency is for me to know that how to honor God, yet sometimes to choose to honor me as well, instead of honoring God. The good news for us is that Jesus is in the business of transformation. He's in the business of changing our hearts. It's not the heart that we had when we meet him. He does a work in it by his Holy Spirit to restore our hearts and to bring them into alignment with his will. As we surrender to Jesus, we say we want less of us and more of him. So when there's a gap, look at it as an opportunity to grow. An opportunity to say, well, currently my desires are here, and I know that's not what you desire for me, God. Help me. I surrender that aspect over. Help me to get from where I am now to where you want me to be. And that could be in lots of areas. You know, maybe it's in your area of finance. I'm selfish with an amount of money you've given me. God, I want to surrender that over to you. God, I really want this relationship to work, but God, I surrender it over you so that you can do a work in my heart. So we're constantly in that humility before God and surrendering over to him the things that we desire, but we know are not necessarily in alignment with his will. The Spirit does its work. When we let him work, the Spirit does his work. As we read in Romans 12, which I think we'll have on the screens as well. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's what I'm talking about when we say we come before him in humility and surrender. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, time in God's presence, time in the presence of the Holy Spirit changes us. That's what we do when we pray, whether it's for a short time or a long time. Prayer is not, we don't pray in order to change God. We don't pray only to hear from God, but we actually pray in order to be changed, in order to have our heart shifted towards him. There's a quote by a famous philosopher, Soren Kierkegaard. Prayer does not change God, it changes him who prays. And I mean, I've heard some nods there, some agreement, but I'd love you to try it. You know, is there something in your world that you go, God, I really want this thing. You know, you've got a desire, but you're just not sure if it's God's desire for you. So pray about it, release it to God, and see what he does. It's an opportunity to surrender it over to him, and if it is in alignment with God's will, if it is a godly desire, you know, he'll give it to you. He promises that in his word. He gives good gifts that are in alignment with his will, done in accordance with his character in the authority of his name. So wherever you're up to with Jesus, because I realize that there's some people who have been following Jesus for 20, 30, 40 years, some people maybe for 20 days, and others maybe aren't following Jesus just yet. But wherever you're up to with Jesus or this idea of praying, you know, prayer is incredibly simple, but it's incredibly profound. So wherever you're up to, Jesus invites us to talk to him. He invites us to pray. He invites us to bring our stuff before him. He doesn't just leave us sitting where we are, though. As we bring things to him, if we let him, he will do a work in us. He will change us. He will use prayer to change how we live for the better. He'll use prayer to transform our hearts and take us off in another direction. And you know what? We'll love it because it's done the way it was meant to be done, the way he created us to be. So the invitation is before all of us because of Jesus. And I'd just like to read Hebrews 4. If I could get the worship team to come up, please. I'd love you to reflect on these words and just know that we can bring anything before God in prayer, and he's powerful enough to make a change in the situation, or powerful enough to make a change in our hearts. Hebrews 4, verse 14 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, thank you that we can bring anything before you. Thank you that you know our hearts. Lord, I ask for each person here, may you just speak to them. Or wherever they're out on a journey with you in prayer, whether they feel guilty, whether their prayer life is going really well, or whether they don't know how to pray, Lord, I pray that you would just prompt their spirit and say, "I'm waiting. Come meet with me. Surrender it over to me so that I can do a work." So Lord, by your Holy Spirit, speak to us, move through this place, and do a work. We pray all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.